Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, wherever and whenever you are listening to this podcast. It's another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com. And we're back together again. Yay, yay, yay. Brandon, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. And it's not me talking for 30 minutes, but that's even better. I don't know how you did it a few weeks ago where you just talk by yourself and or whenever you do those little clips for the Wrestle Write-Ups Twitter.
Sure.
Where it's just, I have no idea. Anyone that makes content by themselves, YouTube, Twitch streamers, I guess they have the back and forth if you're streaming live, but anytime you're just making a video or you're just making a podcast by yourself, that's a whole different ballgame. So,
well, and
kudos
it's not
to
that
you.
I don't want to. I needed just fine last week, by the way. Thank you, Rich, for covering for me while I was gone. But it's not like I don't want to do the podcast with you, but it is an interesting challenge doing it by yourself. It's kind of fun. It's different. The show is never the same, so it's interesting. But we're I'm done that now. I'm back in town. You're working, but you're around. So there'll be fewer episodes now where we'll have to cover these things by ourselves. So we're back to tag teaming, no pun intended, the podcast.
I'm going to intend the pun.
There you go. Well, we got lots to go through. I don't know that we're going to, we just talked about it before we got on the air here, that Raw and SmackDown are kind of uneventful, but there's lots of news to talk about. You got a topic you want to start with?
We can talk about Eric Bischoff. That seems like it's probably the biggest news of the minute, right? It's
sure.
A little old now, but
it definitely was the biggest news for a while, and it already seems to be something that's kind of disappeared because other news has taken its place. But yes, let's talk about Eric Bischoff, because that was a surprise by a lot of people. Just one morning, all of a sudden, people started reporting that it sounded like Eric Bischoff was going to be removed as executive director of SmackDown Live. But it wasn't just that he was being removed from the position. He was being fired from WWE altogether.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a shock, not necessarily because things didn't work out with Bischoff and WWE, but it happened so soon. Like, mm-hmm. He literally worked there for a couple months. Like, it was, he's got the 83 weeks podcast. It was like 83 days, the WWE podcast. Like, he had no time to do much of anything, but apparently enough time to send the wrong impression. What's your first reaction to this thing?
Well, first I'll say he specifically said he didn't see it as a long-term thing, but he even said, like, I saw it as, like, you know, not a 5-10 year thing, but a 2-3 year thing, and it was not even 6 months, right? Like, it was nothing. I don't really know how to take it. I'd like to know what the situation was, like, behind closed doors, but all we were ever hearing about it was Heyman, you know, getting, you can see it also, Heyman getting his hands in on the product right away on Raw, and SmackDown was just SmackDown. We talked about how we didn't even know if Bischoff was doing anything, and I still don't know if he did anything. Like, I have no idea if he wrote anything, produced anything, pitched any ideas. I mean, I'm sure he must have to some extent, but I have no idea what he actually did behind the scenes in WWE to the point where that's a detriment, right? Why are we paying you to do the job? Or whether it's because you can't do it, or we don't trust you to do it, or you're not up to speed, whatever the situation was, like we've talked about forever, we just don't know what it is, why would we pay you to do it? So I guess that's the whole reason behind it. But yeah, I'd love to know more details, and I'm sure we will at some point.
Yeah, he said he was going to talk more about it after he came on his podcast. He's back to it again, and he said he was going to talk about it more, but for now, he really just took the high road. He thanked WWE for the opportunity. He said him and Bruce Prichard were still friends. He says he's not mad. You know that he's not happy about it, but because nobody moves from Wyoming to Stamford, Connecticut with the anticipation they're going to be there for 2 months. So he clearly probably didn't see it coming. Although there's something about this whole situation it seems a little funny. Like, one, I was a little surprised when he was hired in the first place. Like, I get Heyman being the director of Raw. He makes sense.
Yeah.
He's already there. He's an ideas guy. He's probably got his hands all over the product anyway. You know that he's coaching guys and people like Ronda Rousey on their promos. Like, he's really involved already. Bischoff just sort of came out of nowhere. The only time that he was ever really with WWE was when he was doing like WWE Network specials or interviews, or he was used for a clip on a documentary of some kind. Like, they weren't doing anything with him. He was busy working on his own projects. Then all of a sudden they hired him, which shocked everybody. And it sounded like maybe Fox was behind some of that. Like, they wanted a name that was synonymous when wrestling was really high in the ratings and they thought it would be good. And then it was like he wasn't getting involved in anything. He was just sort of sitting back and watching. He didn't say on his podcast what he did or didn't do. All he would say was clearly it wasn't what Vince McMahon wanted him to do.
Yeah, it wasn't a good fit, basically, is what he was saying.
And I'm guessing he didn't do much of anything. He probably sat there and watched and took his time and, you know, for all that SmackDown was needing and the new show and the ratings are already dropping a little bit, it was kind of like, okay, you either do something or you don't, but if you're not going to do it, you can't stick around. And Pritchard's, he's not only kind of a yes man for Vince McMahon, but he's known as a guy who's got a million ideas. He isn't afraid to share them. And that's what they're looking for right now, right? So, yeah, it's I get the sense maybe Bischoff was just as happy to go as he was to be sent packing. So if it's not a good fit, it's not a good fit. But it was a strange hire to me to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, like you said, when they hired him originally, like back in like 2002, it was great because you had that guy who was obviously it was shocking seeing Eric Bischoff on WWE television. Then we didn't really, we saw in bits and pieces like the book release in like 2006. We saw like like you said, like various interviews and stuff backstage and stuff. Like that was fine. It was whatever to see him around, and it was cool because Eric Bischoff's a really, really, really important member of, or like part of wrestling history. Hiring him this time around didn't really make much sense. And also, he's mellowed out a lot over the years. He's nowhere near what he was back in WCW. He's kind of, you know, taken a step back. He observes things more than impulsively doing things. And Pritchard, like you said, always full of ideas, no issue speaking about it, no issue taking the front line there. And also, it probably helps, like you said, that he's kind of a yes guy for Vince. And whether or not that's a bad thing, we'll see. I would say yes, it's bad to have more yes men in WWE, but I have a question for you about Eric Bischoff, though. Do you see him potentially going to AEW?
I don't know why AEW would bring him in. I mean, if they did it, it would just simply to be as a way to stick it to WWE, and that's not, it doesn't seem like that's below them from what I've seen so far. Like, they are looking for opportunities to kind of shove it back in WWE's face, but I don't see Bischoff offering much of anything. He offers the nostalgia of the fact that he was the king of WCW for the longest time, but that sort of played itself out. Like, that's not a storyline anymore. The closest that we get to the WCW in a conversation is that maybe AEW is kind of the new WCW, like that they're taking on WWE and that there's a chance they're going to beat them. I mean, they've already beaten them, you know, 3 weeks. This might be four as of tonight in the ratings, but it's NXT versus AEW. So it's kind of different, right? It's not like Bischoff is needed from them. And he's not exactly what they're new school, right? Like, that's their thing. They're the underground. They're the new school. Bischoff is not that. Like, his time in TNA was not good. His tenure in WWE post the immediate comeback when he first, you know, left WCW, not good. Like, it just, there's not really much that he brings to the table, at least that AEW would want or need. So if they did it, it would be a, you know, single appearance like Bret Hart displaying the title or DDP walking around with somebody. But Bischoff and Hogan seem to be attached together. Hogan ain't ever going to AEW. Like that kind of stuff. So no, I don't see him going over there.
I mean, it would be cool even for like a one-off, like you just said, like they've had the past with like Bret Hart, DDP, Arn Anderson, right? Just to kind of like stick it to them. And I know they said they don't really plan on doing that kind of like stick it to them kind of thing. Like, where it's not direct competition, but it definitely is. Even Jericho's promo with the Inner Circle originally, when he came out and he just went off and he mentioned, like, We the People, it's dead and buried, and it was just a result of bad creative, and it was great. That whole promo was incredible. I don't remember if we talked about it or not. I think I might have done it.
You and I haven't. I'm not sure if you addressed it on your stuff or not, but
yeah, yes. I probably did it solo, but it was such a good promo. Like, it's just Jericho at his best, and like I said, they don't have an issue talking about WWE directly or indirectly.
Well, he Jericho, the one thing, I mean, I know that you're a huge fan of Jericho, and I like Jericho. I'm not as big a fan of Jericho as you are, but he is doing some of his best stuff right now. That guy's got a knack for saying and doing things that can become memes or catchphrases or t-shirts or whatever, like a little bit of the bubbly or bad idea, like, or stupid idea, but bad creative or whatever it was that he said, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, he has that ability to deliver that line that everybody carries with them, and it just becomes this huge thing. And so for that reason, he's a good guy to have kind of leading the way in AEW. And the one thing I'll tell you that I have liked about AEW, and I'm already watching some of the shows. Like, I watched AEW Dark last night, the YouTube channel one. It's not entertaining, really. Like, it's good matches and stuff, but there's nothing. Like, the Joey Janela Kenny Omega match is really good, but and they're doing another one tonight on Dynamite. But they're smart in the way that everything they do throughout that 2 hours has a purpose.
Yes. Like,
there's a reason that they're doing it. It's leading to something else. It's an intro to something. Like Sammy Guevara, when they did that Dynamite debut and he wrestled Cody, I thought, oh, okay, well, what's the point? He's a good wrestler. I didn't really. And then that whole thing was set up to put him in that stable later. Like, everything they did throughout that show had a purpose. And WWE does not do that. Like, it is. That's the hardest part about watching Raw and SmackDown for me right now, is that things are just thrown in there. Like, I thought that, what's that guy's name? Humberto Carrillo, that wrestled Seth Rollins. He's a fantastic. He's a fantastic wrestler. But that match was pointless. Like, there was no reason for it. It was just thrown in there. It just didn't make sense. It didn't lead to anything. Like, there's nothing growing from WWE, where everything in AEW, even with guys that really aren't that impressive, like, Jake Hager is old news in WWE. DDP is old news. Goldust, old news. Like, these guys aren't stars anymore, but when they have a purpose and they're written properly, they become important. And that's what WWE is totally lacking right now. They just have no real direction, no build, no nothing. And it could be because they keep shifting these executive directors around or putting new bookers in charge of different things. But, yeah, it's hard to watch, you know. And the draft, and we said we were going to talk about it, so we might as well go there. It was awful. It was so bad. I've hated these drafts for the longest time, but this one was just really bad.
It made no sense. The war rooms were really stupid. They had no purpose other than to get people from Fox and, like, NBC involved. It was really, really stupid. Doing the draft the way they did it also didn't make sense. So, like, this is an issue I had. The first day was SmackDown. Obviously, they had the SmackDown was the first few rounds. These are the people at the bottom half of the draft you had picked, right? So you, not even the bottom half, just throughout the draft you had people like Nikki Cross, Heavy Machinery, Street Profits, Lucha House Party, Natalya, Lacey Evans, right? Like, just random people. Then you go to the top half of the Raw draft, Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, Charlotte Flair, The New Day. Like, why are you going to leave those people until the next... Obviously, you're trying to get headlines for the next day, but it's very obvious if you're not going to take Seth Rollins with, like, your second pick or third pick, why would you leave them until the next set of first rounds? It makes no sense whatsoever, and that's why you can see that it's very stupid, and it's just a way to say, hey, these guys are officially on Raw, these guys are officially on SmackDown. It made no sense. The whole thing was just poorly done. The shows were really boring, right? The only thing that's been interesting to me in wrestling as of late, as far as Raw and SmackDown go, was Cain Velasquez debuting on the pay-per-view. And that happened...
On the SmackDown debut, yeah.
Yeah, after the pay-per-view. After or before? Before the pay-per-view. It was before, for sure.
It was SmackDown's first episode on Fox.
Just before
Hell in a Cell, yeah.
Which makes no sense in general. I don't know why you'd orchestrate it like that anyway. But yeah, that's the only thing. It was so uninteresting relatively to everything else. Or so interesting, but like, everything was so interesting in general that I forgot when it happened. Right? Like, was it a pay-per-view? Was it on SmackDown? We shouldn't forget. You remember the first episode of Dynamite, like, the first match that happened on it. You can tell me when it happened. I couldn't tell you when the biggest debut we've seen in a while happened. And that's not good. That's not a good thing if I can't tell you when Cain Velasquez debuted in WWE. Like, was it a SmackDown? Yeah. Was SmackDown before the pay-per-view? This was, like, less than a month ago. This is, like, 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago. Right? Like, there's no excuse for that. Part of that's on me. I'll own that. Part of that is just me not caring at this point. But also part of it is them making it so it's so easy to not care. And that's not a good thing. And that's kind of what bothers me about WWE in general, is they make it very hard to be a fan sometimes.
Yeah. They just... That it was so illogical, the whole draft. The way that they structured it, they accidentally released the whole list in order online.
Yeah.
You knew all the real people in relationships were sticking together. So if Lynch was drafted to Raw, you knew Rollins was going there too.
But that's the Bray Wyatt stuff. I mean, they've already...
Well, no, yeah, that's this last year, yeah. Like, they've started to do that. Like, and Carmella just came out and said, that's exactly why I was moved. Like, because Corey Graves was... put as the announced team on whatever, and the reason R-Truth didn't go with her is because the 24/7 title is a USA Network invention. They came up with it. Really? He's synonymous with the title. They are not allowed to let that title go to Fox. So R-Truth had to stay on Raw. Yeah.
I had no idea about that. That's a shame.
Yeah, that's the deal. So she went because of Corey Graves. Truth didn't follow her because the title couldn't leave, and they didn't want to take Truth away from the belt.
So it can't be defended on SmackDown?
No.
Okay.
not that it's on now that it's on Fox, no.
That's crazy. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, USA is the one that came up with the title, and that's why they created it.
Yeah, but USA this is Network WWE. Wanted,
yeah, but they only invented that belt to appease USA Network. So that's the story with it. Now, if Truth ever moves away from, you know, the title, then maybe he joins Carmella. But then what's the point what's of those point? Two together, yeah. Right, if they're not doing that, right? So that's the thing. Like, it was just so predictable. And the draft picks made no sense. And I'm with you. I don't know if you just mentioned this or not, but the order in which they drafted people, yeah. The people they ignored, like Cesaro didn't get drafted, Luke Harper didn't get drafted. Like all these people that were in current ideas and storyline, like for crying out loud, Luke Harper was just in the main event of a pay-per-view. And he didn't even get drafted. Like, it's crazy. The Iconics didn't get drafted. Like, there's so many people who didn't get picked. And here's the kicker for me. Here's the one I love the most. They sold this trade. Like, they're like, oh, my God, we're going to have a blockbuster trade. And they announced it on that new FS1 studio show that they teased that's coming in November. So they said, okay, we're going to have this huge trade. We're going to release it after the thing on FS1, blah, 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 blah. Well, who the heck did they trade? They traded Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross to SmackDown for future considerations. Now, here's the stupid part about that whole thing. One, they call it the future considerations. Two, the rules of the draft specifically explained that you could draft an entire tag team together.
Yes.
So if you didn't want to split them up, you didn't have to. So you could have picked Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross as one team, taken them with one pick, but yet they traded them as separate transactions to SmackDown. So you used two picks to draft these people, or one pick, to, like whatever. Like, it was crazy.
It was two picks,
Yeah, it was stupid. Like, there's no draft that would ever do that. There's no draft in the world in any sport whatsoever, which is why they did these stupid war room things, that they wanted to make it look like a legit sport. There's no sport that would ever draft
that anyway.
Oh yeah, and they would never draft them like that in that order. Like a terrible run franchise would draft, you know, some Seth bomb Rollins. Over a guaranteed whatever.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's what WWE did. They're like, okay, well, we're gonna make this look like a just sport. We'll draft these guys, but they won't be in any particular order. And it definitely won't be the best available pick. You know how they always talk about it in drafts, especially hockey, where you talk about best player available. Best player available, always. Doesn't matter what your need is, doesn't matter what your – best player available. That is the philosophy of most sports teams. What do you need comes into play, but who's the best option at that time, regardless of position, that's who you take. That is not what WWE did in any way whatsoever. No. They left most of the best players off the board for the longest time, and some didn't even get drafted. And you're just like, what? And some of the people who did, you had no idea who they were. So you're like, okay, that doesn't make any sense. You know, it just didn't make sense. And the presentation about the draft and McMahon doing the draft, it was just awful. It was
why
so
was
bad.
Umberto drafted? Why was Shelton Benjamin or like Titus O'Neil? First of all, Elias not having like everyone had like their like credentials below them. Elias had nothing. Neither did Liv Morgan, but she has no championships. Elias has a 24/7 title under his belt. It was just Elias, which is funny to me. And going back to the tag team thing, like you said, I didn't even know that was a thing until they selected, I think the Rival was the first team off the board. But I didn't know this specifically because at the beginning of Raw, they mentioned, or so the beginning of SmackDown, it was when SmackDown was first, like the first show of the draft, beginning of SmackDown, they're like, well, this might be the last time we see the New Day together because like they can get split up in the draft. Well, no. First of all, why would you mention that?
Well, they could have, but somebody would have had to purposely do it. Like, somebody would have had to say, oh, I only want Big E.
Yeah.
So I don't need the other two. Even though you could take the other two for free, you just didn't want them.
Which is dumb. I don't want a former WWE champion right? or a bunch
the
of
The only reason
champions.
To split somebody up is because you didn't want the other one, right? Yeah. It's like, well, I like Kofi and I like Big E. I really don't like you, Woods. So I'm just going to take these two in separate directions. When so you could dumb. Take all three and then trade Woods. Like,
or just leave him off your show.
Yeah. You know, they're just stupid. Absolutely stupid. Like, it was like they threw the whole stupid thing together and said, eh, we'll sell that. And no one bought it, right? Like, it just was.
You have so many supplemental picks, too. Like, Apollo Crews being a supplemental pick sucks because Apollo Crews has so much talent. They'll never use him the way they should. Apollo Crews is the kind of guy who, if he goes to AEW, he's in title contention right away. Right? For sure.
Depends on whether or not he can actually talk.
Like I don't think you need to in AEW. I think
everybody, if you're going to be a big deal, you better be able to talk any promotion of any kind. Now, Apollo Crews and anybody like this, and I know this is just an example that you're throwing out there, but he is really good in the ring. He looks like a million bucks, but I'm not sure that he's sold. Now, there's guys like Shelton Benjamin, and I'm surprised how good he was on Raw talking. You know what I mean? Like, he just did a promo with Rey Mysterio. He was good, right?
Yeah, he's
so I get really your point. Like, these guys need an opportunity to do something, right? And they're probably not going to get it. Right, so
Drew Gulak, we mentioned, is the face of like the brand. Lose the title, then just a supplemental pick. EC3, this is the perfect opportunity to get EC3 into the limelight. They've had so many chances with him, and he's just a supplemental pick. You don't even hear about it. Eric Young, you split up Sanity for no reason whatsoever, and then you have Killian Dane killing the game. No pun intended, no rhyme intended, but it worked on NXT. And then you have Alexander Wolf, also with whatever the team's called, I'm blanking right now. The stable with all the foreigners.
The Imperium or whatever they're called.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you have Eric Young, just kind of Nikki Cross. Even she's doing stuff. You know, she's with Alexa Bliss. She was drafted by herself, then traded and whatever. And then Eric Young's just supplemental pick, probably the biggest member of the entire team name wise, and he's just supplemental. No big deal. Why are they doing anything they do? Also, SmackDown got so many picks compared to Raw in the supplemental draft, and then in the second round of the draft. It was, like, very Raw-heavy for the first round. Superstars being drafted, I should say. And then second round was very SmackDown Superstar-heavy being drafted away. And I think Raw obviously came away with the majority of the picks because three-hour show versus two-hour show, that's fine. This is the most disappointing part of the draft to me, and I don't know if anyone's really talked about it. NXT didn't get anybody other than Leo Rush, who was like a subsequent, not even a draft pick, just subsequently on the show.
Yeah. They got Finn Balor, I suppose, but he wasn't part of the draft. At least they didn't say it like he was part of the draft anyway, that's for sure.
So like right now, people that aren't on a show right now, you have the Usos. That's kind of surprising me, but that also could be because of the DUI again.
Yeah, there's something going on there.
Sheamus, the potential retirement thing. He has a concussion. Ruby Riott not being anywhere is interesting, but I think she's still injured as well. Paige, for whatever reason, they don't know what to do with her yet, I guess. Naomi, which, again, could be an Uso thing. Both the Hardys. Lana, I guess, is on Raw, even though she's not like confirmed to be there. I think she's on Raw. Ember Moon, the Colognes, the Ascension. AOP became Raw free agents, right? That's what happened? They went to Raw?
Yeah, they didn't get drafted, and then they did some teaser video that they were thinking about going back to MMA, but decided they were going to destroy the rest of Raw instead. Yeah. You know, like, and that's the kicker, right? Like, they just spent weeks putting those guys in vignettes that were actually somewhat interesting and then didn't draft them. We'll put them on TV a bunch of times and we'll ignore them.
Alicia Fox is retired, right?
That sort of came out of nowhere.
That's fine. I have no issue with that whatsoever. And then here's probably big news we should have talked about. Big news, relatively. I was right, officially. We can actually settle one of our, you know, long-standing disputes about how, first of all, it was pretty clear that I was right from the get-go. But me saying that they're wasting Maria and Mike Kanellis and this angle is stupid. And you're like, yeah, well, let's see where it goes, right? Let's give it a chance. And it went even worse and worse and worse as the week went on. Mike Bennett, I'm going to call him Bennett again because he's no longer with WWE. Mike Bennett requested his release and got it.
He didn't get it. I don't think he got it.
Yeah, I think he got it like the same day.
No, from what I understand, they did not grant it to him.
I understood that it was immediate. I'm going to check his Twitter while we talk, but I'm fairly certain he got it the same day. Regardless, yeah, I'm going to take this win.
Either way, I know he asked for it. From what I'd read, that she was not going with him if he got it, but that it wasn't granted to him. So, yeah, maybe. That'd be news to me if he was granted that. But he did a Twitter video. I saw that. And I didn't actually watch it. So we'll have to see if that's something that's going on there. But, I get what you're saying. There's other news, too, though. I mean, it's not just draft-related, even though everything seems to be revolving around it right now. Have you seen all this Seth Rollins stuff? This whole... got caught on video about the comments about Vince McMahon and the white trunks, and then another video where he dissed Kenny Omega and called AEW the minor leagues. Did you see all this?
No, I didn't.
Oh, anyway. So here's the story. So Seth Rollins is doing a fan signing, and a fan comes up to him and asks why he never wears the white trunks anymore. And knowing he's on camera, Seth Rollins goes, well, Vince is a weird old man. He just doesn't get it.
Oh,
and
boy.
So the fan posted it on Twitter. Okay. Right. So the video was up for a while, but then removed because I'm sure the fan was like, oh, crap. And actually, who knows if Seth Rollins asked or if somebody else asked. But I mean, it's just another example of Rollins, you know, saying something that he probably shouldn't be saying. And the kicker was he knew he was being recorded. So it's a weird thing to do. Now, this one, the other one is less of an issue for me because turnabout fair play. But Rollins was at, I don't know if it was a Comic-Con or something. There's a conference that we saw Becky Lynch and somebody else, and somebody asked about Kenny Omega and if he would ever wrestle him and, you know, what that match might look like. And something. And his response was, well, when Kenny's done playing in the minor leagues and he wants to make the big money on the biggest show, he can come wrestle me at WrestleMania. And, of course, everybody went nutty because, you know, he's trashing AEW, he's trashing Kenny Omega, which is ironic considering that all Kenny Omega has done since AEW has come on TNT is trash. NXT, he's called them nobody better than being in my dark match, you know, right. Stuff like that. Like, he's really unloaded on
he's
NXT.
Playing it up. I don't think he dislikes WWE or NXT. I think it's just him being smart in wrestling. And same for Seth Rollins. I'm not sure is being smart about it. I think he's just saying, because like Seth Rollins is known to just talk, but I think Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, whenever they talk about WWE, they're doing it because they know their fans are going to eat it up, right? WWE shouldn't need to talk about them. I have no issue with him doing it. Let me be clear. I just don't think it's out of a place of like intelligence from Seth Rollins. Not that he's a stupid guy. I just don't think that it's like a preconceived plan for him to like build WWE up.
I don't think he's figured out what others have figured out, like the Kenny Omegas and Kevin Owens or, you know, Chris Jericho or people who have learned that if you say the right thing and you do the right thing at the right time, you can gain a lot of traction and get people interested, even if it's not real. Seth Rollins hasn't quite figured that out. Like, yeah. he doesn't understand when and what he should say to do himself a favor. He says it and then he looks like a total buffoon. So he's becoming, you know, and he doesn't quite realize that he's being viewed like Roman Reigns used to be viewed, that he's now the machine, the marketing, whatever, the chosen boy in WWE, which is not going to do him any favors. So there's got to be the right time to say what you say and pick it. Like, I don't know if he said something about the white trunks thing because he realized fans were starting to boo him over this Hell in the Cell thing. And mm-hmm. So it's like, well, if I anti-Vince, you know, people will love me. Well, not really. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure he's figured it out yet. But he canceled Twitter for a little while there, didn't he? Because he's realizing he kept saying stupid stuff and he was getting himself in trouble. But yeah, I don't know. These guys got to figure, and it doesn't help that the product is so hard to watch.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
You were right, by the way, about Mike Bennett. I think. I can't really find confirmation, but it looks like they aren't granting his release, so I must have misunderstood that. But as far as Seth Rollins goes, this is the stupidest thing to me about WWE fans, is they'll push for Seth Rollins to be the guy so Roman Reigns isn't, right? They want Seth Rollins to be the guy, and he's awesome, and he should win the title, and it's going to be great. And then he wins the title, and he becomes the star, and okay, well, now you're the chosen boy, so we hate you.
Yeah.
What? Where'd that turnaround come from? It's the most... Daniel Bryan doing the whole Fickle storyline is so accurate. Like, that's not even a joke, where very clearly a jab at the fans. And
yeah, the fans are nuts.
It's ridiculous. It's so hard to be a professional wrestler. That's why, like, for all the trouble we give WWE for what they do in their booking, because it is really bad and really rough to watch, it's not easy to appease the fans, man. You can do exactly what they want, and they'll hate you. You can do the opposite of what they want, and they'll hate you.
Yeah. And it's funny how you can make them turn, too. Like, did you see the Raw interview with Rusev and Jerry Lawler? And, I mean, this stuff with Rusev is awful, but he came out, and he was doing the King's Court thing, and Lawler, and then Lawler was introducing the segment. He was introing what Rusev was going to say, and the fans are going, what? You know, like the Steve Austin, what, all the time? So Rusev finally said, hey, come on, guys. He's a Hall of Famer. And they shut up, all of them. Stop doing it. Right? So they could clearly be approached and said, just don't do that. right?
And Alexa Bliss is really good at that. She beats the like the what chance stuff so well.
Well, if you're off sync when you talk, you can override the chant. But Rusev didn't try to do that. And Lawler was not even, like, he wasn't syncing to the point where people were obviously able to do it because he knew. But Rusev just asked him to stop, and they stopped. Yeah. Right? He just was like, come on, you guys. This is a Hall of Famer. Like, take this seriously. Respect him. And they did.
Yeah, like, this isn't the
right? So it's like, okay.
For. Like, you guys are part of the show. Don't abuse that. And that's something that fans do a lot, is they abuse their privilege. Not a privilege, you pay to be there. But you're supposed to be part of the show, and forever you will be part of the show. If you're a good crowd, you'll forever be remembered as a good crowd. Don't abuse that, right? Like, don't be that crowd.
Well, and it goes both ways, too. We're like, I'm reading all sorts of reports right now that WWE is telling people with AEW merchandise they can't come in to the show.
Yeah, they're, like, literally taking it away or telling them.
Well, they're just basically telling them to either cover it up or you can't come in. Right. Now, that's not 100% confirmed. I've heard different stories where people have said that, and then others were like, no, I had it on. They let me in. Right.
No, I've heard people like that. I've seen from people who are like legitimately like writing the story about it. Like authors of like websites that are like respected who have like, yeah, this happened to me.
Yeah.
So maybe it's.
No, I'm sure it happens. I'm just not sure if it's consistent all the way around.
Sure.
Like, I'm sure some security guards are like, yeah, I've been told you can't do that, especially if they're sitting front row. Right. Although I noticed even and AEW doesn't care at all. Like they were promoting teasers for their pay-per-view and stuff, and they had a guy with an OC shirt on in the front row, and they put him in the teaser video. Like they don't care, right? You know, it's
also all their buddies, right? Like to an extent, the having Styles and Gallows and Anderson, it's cool to see like that little.
Well,
little
and I think it serves AEW differently, right? Like AEW having WWE fans at their show is good for them. Right, yes. That appearance that a WWE fan is coming to an AEW show serves AEW well, whereas WWE having a bunch of AEW fans in their building, not the at least to them, not the best look in the world, right? So AEW benefits by having WWE fans because it just proves we're drawing people that used to watch you, right? Like they're coming to our show instead of watching yours, so that's good for them, right? So I get why they're not shy about leaving those people on TV. You got to have a little bit of both, right? Like, if you're going to have these fans not take over a show, you need to treat them with enough respect to say, okay, if you're a fan of this, that's okay, right? Yeah. So, I don't know which side I fall on, but I don't like the crowds when they try to hijack a show. It's just, especially when they do stuff that just doesn't make sense. It's just, it's whatever. I don't get it. But, yeah, anyway, news-wise, I guess the last thing we should probably talk about is this Crown Jewel pay-per-view. The biggest news right now, there's not a ton of matches, but they're starting to form. A 20-man battle royal was added today. But the big story is obviously Tyson Fury against Braun Strowman and Cain Velasquez versus Brock Lesnar. I'm going to ask you this. Of the two, Cain Velasquez, Tyson Fury, who are you less excited to see?
Oh, Tyson Fury, for sure.
Do you think, I don't know if you saw the segment with Shelton Benjamin.
I did, where he like tapped him out.
What the heck was Cain Velasquez punching?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, that was like Shane McMahon bad. Like those punches were so awful, and I'm
he
like,
might be afraid because like he's a legit badass who can kill a guy. Like
maybe that's the deal. Maybe he was worried that okay, well I've been training with Ray and I've been doing this and I've got, but I don't want to actually level this guy. I bet you Shelton Benjamin was probably like, what the hell, dude? Like hit me. You know what I mean? Like
Brock Lesnar can take it. Well, you know sorry, I mean? Maybe Brock Lesnar can't take it. That's a little subtle jab.
You can actually make it look like you're trying. He started mounted him and then tapped him. I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then the Tyson Fury stuff, they say he's got a lot of coordination, but that video where he was attacked by Braun Strowman at the Performance Center, I don't know. He sort of looked like he was going to be, you know, clumsy-ish.
Yeah.
So, but he apparently he's sticking around. Like, this is not. I don't know if these rumors are true. I wrote the story. I heard this. I don't know who it was. Daily Mail or something said he's getting $15 million for the Crown Jewel appearance. What? I doubt that. That seems really high. But they also reported that he might get $20 million for the next one he does.
And that's a lot of money, man.
It is. And that it's enough money to keep him from fighting Deontay Wilder in February.
Yeah.
So he's leaving boxing, or at least pausing boxing, to do this WWE thing, not only because he's a huge fan of it, but yeah, if that money's there, like if you stand to make $35 million for two matches, I'd leave too. You know what I mean? Like, of course,
I'm already
right?
Known as one of the
you don't actually have to get punched.
Yeah, why would I not do this?
You're gonna make a killing.
Brock Lesnar did the same thing. He's like, I would make more money doing this. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't. It seems like an awful lot of money, and something tells me that WWE's probably paying him a couple million, unless Saudi's helping him. Like, unless the guys are going, well, here, this is huge for us. Here's $10 million towards it. Well, they got more money than
Saudi Arabia knows how big Tyson Fury is.
Yeah.
I don't really care about Tyson Fury.
Maybe they can be told, right? Like, they still think Yokozuna is alive, right? So maybe they can be told Tyson Fury is a big deal, right? If we're going to bring him to your show, it's a big deal. Oh, okay, here's $10 million. Like, who knows if that's what's happening or not?
I'm not
going to
watch Tyson Fury. That's like a bathroom break kind of thing, you know?
I'm going to watch all of it. Well, and I want to see how they book it, right? Like, yeah. What do you do? Like, you got Braun Strowman on one side who, really, you shouldn't have.
Braun Strowman gets buried here.
I know. And he shouldn't be, because they want him to be a star, but whatever. And he can't really have Tyson Fury loose. So how do you book this thing? Do they just, is it a no finish? And then another whatever. Well, that didn't go over last time they tried that, right? Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt, the non-finish. That really sat well with fans.
Did you see the Crown Jewel, the card, where it's like absolutely no ref stoppage kind of thing. Like, it was, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
The picture was so bad. Yeah. I was like, come on. We didn't talk about the pay-per-view, but that finish, I it was exactly what we talked about with, like, the Raw with Lana and Bobby Lashley finishing it. And you're like, I don't really care about the rest of the show. That kind of ruined it. And I was like, yeah, like, that's the same thing with pay-per-views, where, like, it could be a decent pay-per-view, but the end really finishes it. Hell in a Cell wasn't horrible. It was fine. The first match was really good, Becky Lynch versus Sasha. The rest was fine, and that last match was just an absolute joke. The highlight of that match for me was that night was AJ Styles saying my belt when he was like concussed, quote unquote, like, you know, like knocked out, and he said my belt, which you can't say belt, you're not allowed to. So I thought that was really funny, but that shouldn't be the highlight of your show. And the highlight of the show was definitely the train wreck of the finish, go ahead.
Did you read my stories about the local shows in Edmonton and Calgary?
No, I didn't see those.
That finish was the house shows in Edmonton and Calgary. So they've been booking this for a month. So every finish, except for the fact that it was in the cage and they went to the extreme that they went to with all the foreign objects and stuff, that finish was right out of the page of the two matches those guys had in Edmonton and Calgary. So
why weren't they wrestling at house shows?
That's just what they were selling for live events. But those finishes were identical. So basically what was happening was Seth Rollins was, you know, Wyatt was kicking the crap out of Rollins. Rollins finally got all of his finishers in. The kick didn't work. Stomp, multiple stomps. Stomp, stomp, stomp. Wyatt just kept no-selling, kept getting up. Finally, after the fourth or fifth stomp, he laid him out. Then he went to lean over him, and Wyatt put the mandible claw on. He did that both in Edmonton and in Calgary. No finishes again, right? So that Hell in a Cell match was exactly out of what they were practicing in Edmonton and Calgary. The difference is nobody wanted to see that happen at Hell in a Cell because you're not supposed to be able to have that in Hell in a Cell, right? Like, that was the huge – like, how do you have a Hell in a Cell match and you pull Red that? Like, and I remember writing that article and going, how are they going to do this for Hell in a Cell, right? Like, if this is what they're working towards to get these two over without squashing anybody, how do you do that in Hell in a Cell? I wrote that at the exact time I wrote those articles. And that's exactly what they tried, and it didn't work, right? Yeah. So, and I found it. So you mentioned the whole promo of the can't be stopped for any reason. I don't want to get political here. Certainly don't want to whatever. But isn't this an interesting place and an interesting environment to say that? Like, yeah. Of all the controversial reasons that WWE is not supposed to be in Saudi Arabia, that's probably not the place to say for any reason at all, you cannot stop this match. there's a reason that nobody wants you here in the first place. You know what I mean? Like, it's like really not a good idea to say that in Saudi Arabia. Like, I'm sorry, but like, it's just not. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, those shows have gone well. There's been no threats. There's been no any of that stuff. So I'm not trying to say that everybody there is whatever. But you know what I mean, right? Like, that's the controversies. Like, they shouldn't be there because of all the things that have happened there to Americans. Maybe not say for no reason whatsoever. But, yeah, that they have to put that in there. So I'm curious how that's going to finish now, right? Yeah. Like, They've never had a title change like that at a Crown Jewel or Saudi show. No one has ever won a major belt at any of these pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So it doesn't strike me that this will be the first. Like, I don't see how Wyatt wins here and gets the title. Rollins has to walk out with that belt because they never change hands there.
And also, once on SmackDown now.
Yeah. Well, and that's the crazy thing about this draft, too. They drafted Wyatt to SmackDown for Fox's whatever, and he's still wrestling Rollins on Raw, kind of. Like, he's showing up, and he's doing... Like, they just ignored the draft the day after they did it, which is crazy. Like,
this is the same storyline as a Randy Orton storyline with Bray Wyatt, too, which is funny to me. Like, the exact same thing. I did like when he burned the thing down, which actually... Hang on, I just put that together, burn it down. I don't know why that just clicked from my head. But so that's a revelation live on podcast.
but except that Rollins said it on Raw. But I get where you're going with it.
I skimmed through the show. I watched some of the matches. I watched some of the things. I didn't process the burn it down thing as a relationship. Even if I would have heard it in passing, it didn't process until this very second. I did like Bray Wyatt and him face-to-face as Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins. And then Wyatt being like, Seth, please, why are you doing this to me? Like, obviously, he's a different person than The Fiend, right?
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
There's a lot of confusion crossover there, too. Like, sometimes I get the sense that they're trying to sell that Wyatt and The Fiend are two different people, and one is a split personality, the other, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he has no idea. He's not conscious of what The Fiend does. And then the other times he talks about it, like, he knows that that other personality is evil and that he's going to do that. And he's
and he can control it. He assists the set, and now I can control it, or whatever he said.
Yeah. So that's a little weird. It's almost feeling like they had this whole big, like when they first started these Firefly Funhouse things and he got the character, they had slowly built it and everybody's like, oh, this is cool. Like whatever they're doing here, they're building up. And then they just shoved him in a program with Rollins. Like they're like, oh, this is so good. Let's put him in the Universal title picture. Like what? Like then they went from really building it properly and really slowly to just cramming him into the title, and it has backfired in a major way. Like, tell me that he couldn't have done this with anyone else, but like that he couldn't have had this feud with anyone who did not hold the title. Could have been AJ Styles, could have been whoever, like anybody you chose, and Wyatt could have gone over, could have won, could have kept the momentum going, the slow build, eventually working his way toward the title in a year or whatever. But they shoved him in there, and they said, oh, well, he's popular. Let's put him in the title picture. And it's backfired in a major way. Not only is Rollins taking the heat because no one wants Wyatt to lose at this point, so now he's enemy number one, but they don't know how to book this. Like, they just can't figure it out. They're just like, we're in a corner. We don't know how to get ourselves out of it. So, yeah, that's the one reason I'm interested in Crown Jewel, because I want to see how they try to get themselves out of this corner. I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. Again, it's just a staple of WWE. Well, I guess we didn't get it this round. See you in like another month or two when we reset the storylines, and hopefully we get it right this time. Right? Like, they just keep doing the same thing. And the whole Saudi situation, which hasn't been talked about in a while, but I'm sure it will like resurface now that they have another pay-per-view there. It's just crazy how this just keeps happening over and over and over again for the last 10 years.
Well, it's money. I mean, look at the thing, right? Like, Undertaker and Vince McMahon were in Saudi. They flew there for a parade.
Yeah.
Like, he was on a float. How much money was he getting paid for that? Like, he's clearly not staying in Saudi till the 31st. So he went there, did the thing, was on the float, probably came home. That's not cheap. Like, that kind of stuff is, I'm sure they paid him an arm and a leg to do it. So, you know, it's just all money, right? That's just the story here. But the pay-per-views are so uneventful. They've been about the most boring pay-per-views WWE offers every year. They just don't do much. This is the first time that there's actually something new with Cain Velasquez and Tyson Fury and stuff, but they're pushing WWE stars to the side to have it happen. Anyway, I'm curious to see what's going to happen. I'm excited about AEW tonight as they lead into their first pay-per-view since being on TNT, Full Gear. That'll be good. You know, their ratings have dipped too a little bit from what I understand, that they've dropped every week. So I'm expecting them to put on a big show. Yeah, I don't know, man.
A big show with pretty good today.
We'll probably leave it at that. You got any the big show? The big show. although that would be the most non-significant move from one promotion to the other. If Big Show showed up in AEW, nobody would care. Sure. You got any final thoughts to leave them with today?
No. Just let's all hope for better product from WWE in the future, I guess.
Yep, I'm with you. So hopefully it gets better. We'll have one more show here, I think, before Crown Jewel probably. So we'll do our predictions once the card is fully set. And we'll hopefully be right about a lot of stuff and, you know, mostly right about the fact that the pay-per-view won't be a total waste of time.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thank you. I will talk to you next week. And for everybody else, we appreciate you listening. You can find us on anchor.fm, thesports.com, wrestlingwriteups.com, a number of other podcast platforms where you can listen to your podcast. We appreciate you tuning in. And until next week, this is Jim. And for Brandon, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again on another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling Podcast.